Blog Talk Radio.
If I sit and the words keep coming, they won't go away, they just keep coming.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound. Well,
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on Facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now. For tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello everyone, I am Doreen Rosenfeld, your host for tonight. Tonight's going to be a very special episode because we're speaking to caregivers. And we're speaking about, well, like my title, Easing the Pain with Laughter. We all need to ease the pain, ease the stress that we're living under daily. And one way to do that is through laughter. And Charlotte Canyon will tell us about that tonight. People who know her view her as a go-to person, an individual they can turn to whenever there's a problem that needs solving. That's the kind of person we want around here. She has discovered that one of the best ways to do that is through laughter. She is described as larger than life. Aside from managing women as models, controlling several businesses, working in event planning for a large corporation, she gardens professionally. And she volunteers her time to teach gardening, and she's won many awards. That's just aside from the point. She is CEO of a startup business intent on selling a product she invented or teaching people to live as long and as happily as they can. One of her unique accomplishments for us brain-injured individuals is as a creative writer. She has penned and published several stories and poems. Her most recent book is Spark, Ignite Your Way to Success. We can talk about that later, but she writes about inspiration, which she learned from the experience of assisting her own parents with dementia, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, while battling and overcoming cancer, and she learned how to deal with these unique stresses, and that helps fuel her success. A past book includes You Have to Laugh to Keep from Crying, How to Parent Your Parents. That's always difficult, whether you're parenting parents or parenting your children who are different now. But this advice is something we all need, whether we're brain injured or not. She is happy to share her experiences with the world and hopes that her stories might ease the pain that many will endure, tempering the most difficult times with laughter. And she speaks to caregivers, helping them to survive the tough and thankless tasks before them. She offers help in a pamphlet associated with her book to build and reinforce happy memories by remembering to find humor during an otherwise arduous and often overwhelming end-of-life journey. Remember, when someone you love is gone, all you will have are memories. So make them good ones. Charlotte, why don't you say hello to everybody?
Hi. Thank you for inviting me to the show, Doreen.
Okay. Let's hear some things that you have to tell us, Charlotte.
Well, first of all, thank you for that wonderful, wonderful, intro. What I'd like to tell caregivers is they're not out there alone. You know, we all walk the caregiver journey. And if you think about it, especially women, We've been caregiving our whole life. When we got old enough to hold a little baby doll, we were caring for that baby doll. So caregiving is part of our nature. But one of the downfalls to caregiving is as we get older and as we become mature, then we have all kinds of stresses coming at us from every angle. And let me give you a little fact here. Over 50% of caregivers die before the person they're caring for. Now, that's a scary, scary fact.
Yeah. Maybe you can tell us why.
The reason why is because we take on that stress. You know, when you become a caregiver, you think that you become the martyr. I mean, I'm not saying that literally, but we do. We want to do everything. Because normally if you're a caregiver, you're caregiving for someone you love, and you want to give them everything you can. But I'm here to share with you that caregiving is hard. And as she said earlier, I was the caregiver for a father-in-law who lived with me and my husband, and he developed dementia. My mother had Alzheimer's and my dad had Parkinson's all at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, my husband is an only child, and fact be known, most caregivers are female. Now, there are men that are stepping up, but most of the caregivers in the world, I would say over 73%, are female. So we carry that burden pretty much ourselves. So with that being said, my husband is an only child. And when my father-in-law started walking the dementia journey, he still drove his car. And, you know, in my husband's eyes, he was able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. I mean, he was indefensible. But you know what? He wasn't. And it took a long time. And I'm sharing that because the first person to be in denial when you walk down any kind of journey like that, whether it be a brain injury or the dementia, and there are like 246 different diseases that fall under dementia. But, you know, when they're walking down that journey, they're the first one to know it. They're the first one to recognize, oh, my gosh, I forgot this. I forgot that. I forgot. And it's not that you just forgot one or two things. That's normal. We all walk into a room and go, oh, my gosh, what did I go here for? That's not what I'm talking about. No, no, no. What I'm talking about is when it's repetitive and it is going into the dementia, and they literally, and I'm going to give you an example, I came home from work one day and I found my father-in-law kind of curled up in a fetal position in a chair, and he looked very uncomfortable. And I kind of shook his shoulder and I said, Pop, are you okay? That's what I call my father-in-law, Pop.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't find my bedroom. And I looked around and I'm going, oh. And I didn't tell him, I just kind of walked him. But 5 foot from that chair was his bedroom door.
Wow.
You know, and those are just some of, you know, the subtle signs. And my neighbors were telling me, we pull our kids off the street when Pop gets in the car because he can't, you know, he doesn't drive a straight line. And I remember one day when he came home, actually, I was in cooking dinner and he ran to the store, supposedly. And I'm in the kitchen and he comes in with a panic look on his face. And he says, Charlotte, I need your help. And I looked at him and said, Pop, are you okay? He said, well, I had a wreck. And I said, oh, my gosh, are you okay? Is everyone okay? And then my mind is going, how did you get home? What's going on?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I just hit a mailbox, but I need to go back and pay for the mailbox. And he said, can we go in your car to go check the mailbox? So as we walk out to the driveway, I look over at his car, and the whole right side of his car is mangled.
Oh.
I mean, it's a mess. And I'm thinking, that is not a mailbox. And then I'm thinking, where are the cops? Because they're probably trying to find out where he is. He fled the scene. I mean, my mind is going crazy. We literally got in my car. We drove around for over 30 minutes. finally he pointed at a mailbox that was just leaning just over. I mean, I knew in my heart that that was not what caused the damage to his car.
Right.
But out of respect and love for him, he said, "That's the mailbox. We need to go to that house." And I thought, God, this is in your hands. So I drove up to, it was kind of on a half an acre, so I had to, you know, drive a little ways to get to the house.
Right.
When we got there, Pop asked me to stay in the car. So I stayed in the car, but I kept a close eye on him.
Yeah.
And he walked up and he stopped at the bottom of the steps. And at the bottom of the steps, he started talking. But then I noticed, you know how you know people's demeanor? Now, he is one of the kindest, most gentle men you could think of. I noticed his fists were clenching. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, it's time for me to get out of the car. Now, I couldn't see who he was talking to. They had a big porch, and they had shrubs that went off almost to the roof. So I just assumed he was talking to someone on the porch. When I got up to him, I realized what was going on, and I said, Pop, let's walk up on the porch. So we walked up there, and we walked over to a park bench. And there was something on the park bench. And as we got closer, it was a scarecrow. It was Halloween. Not only was he driving and shouldn't have been, he couldn't see well enough.
Wow.
There was, you know, all kinds of little signs. Of course, you know, that was kind of the catalyst that my husband finally realized he needed to take Pop to the doctor.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Wow.
And of course, this whole time I'm working with my mom and dad, because my mom and dad live in their home down in East Texas, and that was about an hour, 45 minutes from me, and they were refusing to move out of their house and move closer to me, and I understand how that is. I mean, they've lived there most of their lives. They don't want to leave their home. As a matter of fact, my dad would make the comment, he'd go, we're going to die right here in our house. But he, you know, really in a real world, we would all like to just go to sleep and pass on.
Oh,
but guess
yeah.
what? Reality is not that. The new world is so different with strokes and with dementia and with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. As a matter of fact, with strokes, 2020 was not just bad for all of us due to COVID. There were many people that, you know, of young age who had, you know, other things happen to them. As a matter of fact, my daughter, who's 44 years old, in September had a stroke. And the doctors are literally calling her a miracle. I promise you, I had people praying all over the world for her. Because she was 44. Three of my 20 grandchildren, you know, she gave birth to. We didn't want to lose her. But the doctors said they did not expect her to live 4 days. It's now January, and she's home. She's still in rehab. She has 5 days a week, speech therapy and physical therapy. She's doing so much better. But they're calling her a miracle. She should have died. And the reason I say that is because stroke is caused from stress. And stress can cause a lot of damage. And caregivers have stress. Along the same line with the stress, I think you mentioned, halfway through, my journey was 16 years. From when Pop was diagnosed with dementia and the last of the three parents died, which was my mother, and it was a little over 3 years ago. But halfway through the journey, I got sent to a specialist, and he said I had cancer. Now, that's not a word anybody wants to hear. I don't care what it is. But within 10 days, they had me in surgery. I had two surgeries, 36 treatments, and that was 6 years ago. And I'm a survivor. I'm still here. I'm kicking. I'm taking names, and I'm changing the world one person at a time, the best I can.
All right. All right, that's another way you know about what's going on here. No matter what the person's issue is.
Yep. Most definitely. You know what helped me survive, Doran?
What?
Early on, well, I have to share with you, you mentioned my book, You Have to Laugh to Keep from Crying.
Yeah.
I wrote that when I was 70 years old.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, I told you my mom passed away about 3 years ago. That's when God told me to write the book.
Really?
And I literally looked, yes, I literally looked up to heaven and I said, oh, but God, you saw my grades in English. They were not that good. And he says, oh, my gosh, Charlotte, you tell the best story. We got editors. They'll take care of everything else. And within 6 weeks, I got an email inviting me to a writer's seminar, a three-day writer's seminar. I literally looked up to heaven again, and I went, God, you do not send emails. I know you don't send emails. But, you know, I went to that seminar. And I ended up 11 months later having a book in my hand. It was an Amazon bestseller in three categories. And then I won best self-help book in the state of Texas. And now they're calling me the voice of the caregiver. My book has won so many awards, I can't name them. And I'm thinking, I'm 70 years old. I'm on a new career. I'm on a new track. And the biggest blessing to me is when I speak and caregivers come up to me and they go, oh, my gosh, thank you for sharing my story. Because a lot of caregivers are afraid to speak up. They're afraid to ask for help. The reason caregivers get so stressed is they think they have to handle it all, and they don't. They don't have to handle it all. What I saw in the industry some 20 years ago was very little. I mean, there were retirement centers and there were assisted living. But what I've seen today is unbelievable. And if you haven't heard this, the senior healthcare industry is the third largest growing industry in the United States right now.
Wow.
Growing by leaps and bounds. So the help is out there. But let me just give you a little hint. If a neighbor offers to bring meals, let them. If a family member or a neighbor says, hey, let me watch your mom, you go to the movie, do it. Because you have to have you have to have outlets. And speaking of outlets, you mentioned the master gardening.
Yeah.
After I had my cancer, I literally knew I had to take care of myself. Something in me triggered, and I knew I had to do something. So I went, I heard about Master Gardening, and you probably hadn't figured it out. I'm a little bit of an overachiever, but I, a little bit, but I decided I would become not just a master gardener, I became a Texas superstar master gardener. And there's only about 50 of us in the state of Texas. And because I went to San Antonio for another class after I became a master gardener. But I found something, a passionate thing that I could, do. Now, here's something really you're gonna get a kick out of this. I never in my wildest dreams, I thought the master gardening I was doing for me, because there's nothing better than digging in dirt and, getting dirt under your nails or walking barefoot on the soil and connecting with the earth. It's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But during COVID, actually even before COVID, I got on the speaker's bureau. I really am never in a lack for words. But I got on the Master Gardener speaker's bureau and I started talking. Well, during COVID, they started searching me out, not to just speak on my caregiving, but they'd have me come back and talk on gardening. I was teaching seniors and facilities how to build raised bed and container gardens and keyhole gardens and how they can garden in their apartments and, what they need to do and little things. So I gave, and The big thing was at the facilities, they were building these 4x8 raised bed gardens where seniors can stand up and garden. Mm-hmm. And they would grow herbs and vegetables, and then the kitchens and the chefs would go out there and harvest the vegetables and the herbs, use them on the food that they were serving the seniors, so those seniors could see, you know, that they were giving back. Because that's another thing we caregivers need to know, is seniors want to be needed. They want to be, you know, they want to feel like they still have worth. And so that's one of my passions, is to make them feel like they're still needed. And because they are. They're a very, very important part of society. You know, I think back of early days, and I try to read as much as I can. But think about, the Indians used to value their seniors. And all of a sudden, seniors in the United States have become kind of, you know, stuck back.
Yes. That's true. People need to feel like they're still valuable.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that, being a writer and a gardener and everything else.
Well, I stay busy, that's for sure. And 20 grandbabies keep me kind of busy.
Yes, that's great. Well, that's really nice to hear, because, I mean, everyone needs to feel like they're doing something. Because if you don't feel like you're doing anything, you just don't see any point to going on.
Yeah, you give up.
But if you're doing something, anything that might help somebody, suddenly life is worthwhile.
And, you know, every one of us, no matter whether you're 72, 82, or 92, they all have something to give. I heard a lady speak the other day, and she was 97 years old.
Wow.
She was amazing. I have a radio program, and I interview authors, people that have written books.
Uh-huh.
And she worried about her voice being real cracked, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, sweetheart. You're a blessing, and you're an inspiration, and it was just inspiring. I get blessed, you know, just like you, Dorian, you know, reaching it, you know, it's a blessing, all these, you know, everyone, and we just have to find, you know, those blessings and those things that make you smile, because life's too short, you know, whether it's 72 years or 92 years, it's still too short. We need to smile and laugh at everything. And there is a rainbow. I'm not going to go into the detail of it, but there's a story in my book, and my book makes you laugh and cry and laugh and cry and laugh and cry. It's just the way it is. But the laughter creates more endorphins and more healing things in our body than the crying does. But the crying does help us release. I think a lot of people that don't cry or don't laugh, they don't know how. They're missing so much, and their body is suffering. Not just emotionally, but physically.
Huh. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, laughter creates 10 times more endorphins in your body than being sad.
Yep.
So, you know, you can find something to laugh at. I have to tell you a funny, was in the hospital one time with a friend, and he had just had brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he saw someone else, and they were, I think it was in recovery, and he saw someone else that had, you know, I don't even know what kind of surgery the guy had, but he was really bent over and having trouble. And I know that's not something you should laugh at, but the gentleman that had brain surgery started laughing, and that was healing for him.
Wow.
You know, just to find some humor in the situation.
Yeah. Yes, and I can tell you that as a doctor, the act of smiling, actually changes the blood flow back through the head, and cool air, cool breeze comes to the base of the head when you smile. And
oh,
so,
I didn't know that. I love
yes,
it.
So that makes you even happier. So the question is, do we smile because we're happy, or are we happy because we're smiling?
And it takes both, doesn't it? I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love to smile, and that's been the sad thing about COVID. As a matter of fact, I've shared this with you. I found this, and I'm sure you've seen in these little masks, but it's a clear, and it covers my whole face, kind of like the ones they're using, you know, in the hospital.
Right.
Only this one is attached to a pair of glasses. Well, I ordered it back in October. Well, it took 48 days for it to get to me. And what I hated most about the mask is you can't see people smile.
Yes.
You can't see, you know, now if you're really good at body language, you know, you can look at their eyes and see them smile, but how many people take time, you know, to read the person that they're around? And you know, the split seconds, you may only have 10 seconds with someone, but a
yes.
smile means so much. So when I got this mask, I am elated because I can now smile and people can see it. I have to share this with you. I have a 24-year-old grandson who has Asperger's. Now, he's smart as a whip. As a matter of fact, he scored in the top 100 in the nation when he got out of high school in STEM. Most people don't understand, but STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And, I mean, he was off the charts. Harvard even wanted him. But with the Asperger's, you know, we didn't want him too far from home. But
right.
they did let him go for a year and a half. And he just couldn't handle all of the structure. He couldn't handle, you know, Asperger's, you know, they don't like crowds. And they shy back. Now, he's doing fabulous. But anyway, what I'm getting at is he's created his own couple of little businesses. And one of them is his parents bought him a 3D printer.
Oh.
Now, 3D printing has become big for, you know, the techies. Now, he's a nerd. Don't get me wrong. He is a nerd all the way. As a matter of fact, he is my techie person. When I have a problem with my computer, I call my grandson because he's my go-to.
Yeah.
But with the 3D printer, he called me, and they call me Meemaw. That's my grandma name. And he says, Meemaw, I got a 3D printer. I want you to be my first customer. What can I print for you?
Oh, wow.
Well, we were going into COVID, and I was thinking, I need to do something special, or, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, how about if you print me a coin, and on one side, you've got a guardian angel, and he designed this angel holding a heart. And then on the back side, he put Psalms 91:11, and that's, may God's angel wings surround you.
Oh!
I have been giving those coins as my hug. I can't hug people, and I can't, sometimes they couldn't see my smile, but I could give them a hug with that guardian angel. And Doran, that was a blessing that God told me to do, because I have had people literally cry when I hand them the angel.
Wow.
One girl told me that she had a twin sister. When the day that I gave it to her, don't ask me how this happened, but God knows. But one day, this lady did something special, and I don't hand them out to everybody. I might hand out one a day, if that. You know, it's something special has to happen, and I go, can I give you something? You know, because I want to hug them, and I can't. So this one young girl, and she was probably in her 40s, and she started crying, and I went, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. She said, no. I had a twin sister.
and she died in a car wreck when she was 18. Today, and you handed me a guardian angel. That's my sister speaking to me.
Wow. Very nice. That's neat. Yeah, we get little memories like that from just reaching out, smiling, you know, sharing with people.
Yeah, smiles can do one, like you said, and I appreciate the blood flows to your head when you're smiling. That's just.
Yep, instead of down, just down your neck, it actually goes back into your head.
That is amazing, because I'm a big smiler. You probably can't see my smile through the
I can hear it.
Well, you know what? If you're in tune, people can hear a smile in your voice. And that's kind of funny because, you know, my first job when I got out of high school, I was a telephone operator.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's neat.
And I always love to see if, you know, I always like to make people smile.
Oh, yeah. Me too. That's, you know, because I often don't know how to relate to people. But if you make them smile, that's a good way to relate to anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Even in a far, even if they have a speak a different language.
Yep.
Yeah. Because smiles. Well, it's one of the first things that a child sees is their mother's smile.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that they recognize is their mother's smile, and their mother's voice, because they've heard the mother's voice long before while they were in vitro.
Right.
So, you know, and that smile on her face, because you know when a mother's talking about her newborn child or unborn child, she's, you know, she's smiling in her voice and she's smiling in her heart and she's smiling on her face.
Yes.
Speaking of children, I bet you we're going to have a lot of COVID babies.
God. And then just remember smiling, yeah, that's neat. But I think it's great that you're out there looking for people smiling. That's what we need more of.
Yeah. If people take the time and look into people's eyes, even though right now you can't see their smile, you can tell when their eyes are smiling. You know, you can still see it, and it definitely warms your heart. I remember, like I said, my daughter had a stroke at 44. You know, and in September, she was in a coma for 6 weeks.
Whoa.
And the first time we saw her, of course, she couldn't speak because they had that intubate tube. But we could tell in her eyes that she was trying to smile, that she was glad she was still with us, and that she was glad we were there. And, you know, of course, talking to her now, you know, she knows she's a miracle. She knows God has a bigger purpose for her. She knows that many, many, that it was power prayer, you know, that saw her, you know, through it. And she said something funny to me, and I'm going to share this with you. She said right now she talks slow, and you and I both know that the younger generation talks very fast. And sometimes we have to have them slow down. Well, she's talking slow, and she said, sometimes my brain is thinking faster than I can speak. And I said, no, honey, that's normal. The human can hear up to 100 to 125 words per minute, but our mind can think up to 3,000 words a minute. That's why speed readers can read so many, you know, read so fast. Is they they develop that. But literally our brain can process 3,000 words a minute.
Huh.
So I told her, I said, your speaking being slow is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I mean, just give you more time to, you know, take it all in.
Right. Yeah. And you also mentioned my book, Sparks. I co-authored that with two PhDs, and it's called Sparks, Ignite Your Way to Success. And we actually bundled it with two books. The other book is called Drop the Bad, in other words, Drop Your Bad Habits. And basically, we all kind of are experts in our field, and we talk about what you have to, like my part was staying on top of your game. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I am excited, and I work harder for rewards than I do for, you know, a paycheck. But I literally do. In fact, I keep telling my husband, if he just win the lottery, I could give away all my books and I could speak for free. I would just be in hog heaven. But when you stay on top of your game, there are times people are, you know, are not going to agree with you, or, you know, might tell you no, but you just got to keep plugging. You got to keep trying. And along with all of that is you got to keep smiling and know, you know, that the right things are going to happen. Just like I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be where I'm at today. And, you know, having being a radio host and being a public speaker and having 8 books, you know, out in the, you know, it's mind-boggling, just mind-boggling. But I'm also married to the best man in the world. Oh my gosh, my husband's name is Craig, and he gets up every morning and he says, "Honey, do you know how proud I am of you? You know how proud I am," and he's so supportive. I mean, he supports me, you know, 100%. And that's the other thing is you have to have people around you, especially caregivers. You got to have people around you that help lift you up.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to lift yourself up all the time.
Right.
And you got to have that person. It might be your spouse. It might be your best friend. It might be a group of good friends. Or it might be a cousin. Or it could even be, you know, your own mother. My mother was my best friend. But then when she walked the journey, you know, down the Alzheimer journey, you know, I always treated her like my mom. And I loved her. I respected her. But I also had to have patience with her. And I had to learn to have patience with myself. That's another thing caregivers have to do is they have to have patience with themselves, because I know that, you know.
Wait, what was that?
Well, I said you got to have patience.
Wait, you're not coming in clearly all of a sudden.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, now it's better.
Okay. You got to have patience with not just with them for who, what, where they are, but you got to have patience with yourself.
Yeah.
Because there are things you're going to think, and you're going to think, oh, I'm a bad person for thinking that. But it's okay, because you get up the next day and you do the same things, but you do them better. And if you fail, you get up the next day and you do it different. Because each day is different, and you have to, you know, walk, you have to walk that walk every day.
Yeah, so it's different every day. People have to realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely, you know, like just, you know, it's crazy. My dad had Parkinson's. And now Parkinson's does not affect your cognizance as much as Alzheimer's does.
Right.
And let me just give you a little background. My parents were polar opposites. How they got together, I will never know. But my dad was 15 years old when he joined the Marines.
Wow.
And then if you look at his history, he lost his mother when he was 2. He lost his dad when he was 12. And the Marines became his family. My mother was born to, she was the eldest daughter of 4 to a strong Christian, middle class, beautiful family. So they had 2 separate backgrounds, two entirely different backgrounds. So I, you know, I actually have the mixture of the two. My dad was a self-made successful man, but he was a little OCD, I guess, is the lack of other words, because you could go into his closet and his shirts would be lined up in a rainbow color, and they would be two fingers apart, you know, the military thing. I mean, he was so meticulous, and he wanted perfection. And you and I both know that perfection is not attainable. We can try to be the best we can be at that moment, but we're not going to be perfect at all times. There's not no such thing. That's why caregivers have to, you know, forgive themselves. You know, I said there was four golden rules that helped me survive, and they're love, respect, patience, and forgiveness. And those four things helped me survive tremendous days.
Yes, that's very important, because you always have another person who needs your attention right out there. So you have to be able to love them, but don't hold yourself responsible for what's going on with them.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Kids are so important. Caregiving is a tough job, but you're right. We all have to do it at some point. You know, my husband and I were both head injured. So we take turns taking care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know when it's going to come up. You're going to need some help, but all of a sudden, like, you're just unable or unwilling to do something, and you need the other person around you to help you with that.
Definitely. Everyone needs someone.
No matter what or who it is.
Right. I think you had shared a little of your that you both had brain injury, and that, you know, you were each other's caregivers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, because that's so important. I mean, neither one of us could have gone along very well or could get along very well without the other. And, you know, sometimes we get so angry at each other and yell and scream and, you know, it's not important because we need each other a good part of the time.
Mm-hmm. And do y'all have a support group around you?
Not really. I mean, we both have our little internet circles, you know, our Facebook circles, and I'm very highly involved with my synagogue, my local synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is a good outlet for everything. Although being president of the congregation in these times is not an easy task.
No, and aren't you in California?
Yeah.
Oh, and y'all are even shut down more than us. I'm in Texas.
Yeah.
And I don't live in a metropolitan area, so we're a little more spaced out.
That's good. Yeah, LA's really bad. I'm up in the San Francisco area. It's a little better around here, but
okay.
Solano County has a lot of farm workers, and farm workers are getting it bad.
Are they getting a bad rap, or are they getting...
They're just, you know, they don't really have a way to protect themselves when you're out picking grapes or whatever with other people.
Gotcha. So are they getting COVID?
There's a lot of wineries up here.
Yeah. I've been through Napa Valley.
Yeah, I'm right beside Napa Valley. Yeah, and so
okay,
there's a lot of work, you know, hard physical labor and community physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Wow.
Really tough. But so you said in your area of Texas is not really that horrible.
No, we're doing pretty good. Of course, you know, they had the Thanksgiving spike and then they have the Christmas, mm-hmm. but we're not maxed out like, you know, New York, you know, or, you know, the L.A. I think L.A. and California is really bad.
Yeah. Right.
You know, having, and I'm hoping that, you know, the vaccine will help, you know, help many people, you know, feel more secure. But I think the new norm is going to have masks in it. We're going to probably look like Japan. You know, some people will wear them even after they don't have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some people who worry about, you know, being safe. Yeah. I think that's going to be better. And I was just talking to my mother. She's in a, elder care facility down in Florida, and she's telling me that, you know, her facility, they're doing okay, but, you know, she has a special situation where she and a few of her neighbors all sit out in front of their houses and talk back and forth between them, like all, you know, four people right around her.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad she's got a community with her.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's what people need anywhere they can get at this time.
Yeah. Because the world is suffering because of the social. Because we have to have the social. It's part of our makeup. It's part what makes us who we are. And many people don't know how to, you know, find it. You know, like you say, you've got your synagogue, you know, and I have my church, and I have my, you know, my different Zoom links, and I have my Facebook. And but I'll be honest with you, Doran, the first month or two, I kind of sat back and didn't do my norm. I have the cleanest closets and the and the cleanest house, you know. I thought, oh, this is a good time to, you know, do all this. Nothing else going on because all my talks and, you know, stuff got shut down. But I even got a little bit, I'm going, this is going to last longer than we think.
Yeah.
So then I had to, think about reinventing ourselves, you know. So not only caregivers went through, you know, the little bit of the depression, and they couldn't, some of them couldn't even see the person they were caring for.
Oh,
you
know,
if they were in a facility. And I guess if there's one blessing, and there's several that are going to come out, I think, positive from this COVID. But one of them is, and I mentioned earlier, adult children who have parents still living, they have learned the value of their parents because they couldn't spend Thanksgiving with them. They couldn't see them at Christmas. And many of them lost their parents due to COVID. And they're living with the fact that, oh, my gosh, I should have visited Mom more, or I should have, you know, I should have been there, you know, for her a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years ago. And I think it's been a reality that a lot of young adults, and when I say young adults, I'm talking about, you know, in their 40s and 50s,
right.
They realize, oh, my parents are not invincible. They're, you know, they may not be here forever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my synagogue has a very active Zoom life. So I've invited my mother to be a member from down in Florida because Mom's a late night person. And she loves coming to our Friday night services, you know, late her time. But she enjoys it so much. She mingles with everybody. And, you know, because I'm in California and she's in Florida, we could never do that in ordinary life. But now,
it's
great.
Yeah, the new norm is going to be the Zooming and, you know, being able to I think a lot of businesses are finding out that they don't need people flying all over the world. They don't need, you know, big conference rooms. They can do it, you know, other ways. And I agree with you. I think there's going to be a new norm. I'm a member of Zig Ziglar's Monday Morning Devotional.
Oh, yes.
And he happens to, you know, now he's deceased, but his daughter and son are still very active. And, but he lives in the, you know, in the Metro Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex. And I've gone in live a few times before COVID. But now that we've gone to Zoom, oh my gosh, we've got people from other countries that are Zooming in.
I know.
And I don't think they're going to let it, you know, I think they're going to keep Zoom. So I know that Zoom is, and maybe it'll evolve to something different. And when I say different, somebody else is going to get on that bandwagon for sure. But no, it's going to be a new norm. You know, everyone's learning new hobbies. You know, more people cook now than I don't know what the statistics are, but my husband is in the food industry. He is a professor. So, you know, we sell to restaurants. And his business has gone crazy. Absolutely nuts. Because people are buying at the grocery stores and going home and cooking.
Yeah.
Now, the restaurants are doing okay as far as, you know, takeout. If they figured out the system, if they figured out how to make it affect, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody had to find their niche.
Exactly.
And I feel, you know, I feel sorry for those that didn't make it, but they've got to find their niche. And we talk about that. You got to reinvent yourself.
Exactly.
You know, figure out where your team is and where your group is. Because everybody has to have a team.
Yes. You're so right about that. Okay, I just want to make an announcement to anybody who's listening to this live. Please call in the number 424-243-9540. And when you call in, press 1. That will let me know here at the studio that this particular phone number, this particular person has a question. So if you'd like to say anything about your way of coping or your way of caregiving, please feel free to call in to 424-243-9540 and just press 1. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, I want to ask Charlotte a little bit, tell people how to reach you.
Okay. It's simple. You can either go to my website, which is you have to laugh to keep from crying .net, or you can send me an email. I have no problem, and I usually get back to people within 48 hours. And my email is Charlotte, and anyone read the book Charlotte's Web, that's how you spell it. Charlotte, Charlotte. Because for some reason, people do not know how to spell Charlotte nowadays. But it's Charlotte at Charlotte Canyon. And my last name is just like the Grand Canyon, only it's an I rather than a Y. So it's Charlotte at Charlotte Canyon, CANION.com. And I'd be glad. I love to mentor people. I love to answer questions. I love to help people navigate, because what I went through some 20 years ago was I thought I was alone. No one else is walking this journey with me. I am alone. I'm the only one in the world. And what I want everyone to know is they're not alone. Every one of us have our own issues. Every one of us have our own problems. And caregiving goes from caring for your children, caring for your friends, caring for your spouses, or caring for your parents or grandparents. And it could be a granddaughter caring for a grandma. I mean, mm-hmm. there is no age. Caregiving does not differentiate, you know, whether you're young or old. When you're yeah. called to be a caregiver, you're called to be a caregiver. And, you know, like I said, I love to, you know, help people find their niche and find an easier path. And I don't people, I made a lot of mistakes, and you will make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. It's inevitable. But if I can alleviate some of that by sharing a better way. Let me give you a little example is when your parents get argumentative this is kind of a hard story, but my mother had Alzheimer's, and she was pretty far down the road. Mm. And I thought she knew who I was, and some days she would say my name and some days she wouldn't. But mm-hmm. I remember she was in a facility because she had so many issues. She had COPD. She had broken her hips. You know, you name it. But I would go visit her every day. And I remember this one day went in there, and she started yelling and screaming at me and said, "Get out of here. I hate you. I don't want you ever come back." Those are hurtful things. That was my mom. But I went out of there, and of course I cried and cried and cried. But the reality of it is that wasn't my mom speaking.
Right.
That was the disease. That was her pain. You know, she could have been in, you know, pain that day. And that was the pain speaking. She literally was yelling she wanted out of her issue. She didn't know how else to do it. But I loved her, and I respect her at that moment. And it just took me a little bit to get over it. But I want people to know that is a norm. That happens quite often, especially with Alzheimer's, because she had lived with it for well over 10 years at that point, and she was confused in her head. And whether she knew who I was or not, she was just angry at the world. But the next day, she loved me implicitly. So, you know, you just got to walk through it and hold your head high and have someone. Remember we talked about having that partner, having whether it's a best friend or a child or, you know, your neighbor or your spouse that can hold you and comfort you at that moment. And I can't hug you through the phone, but I can sure send you one of my coins.
Yes, that's good. Okay, yes. That's nice because it's nice when other people recognize you for something, too.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to go out on Amazon, you can see all my books, and if you'll send me a note, there's a place where you can email me. I will send, if they're listening, I'll send them a book.
Oh, very nice. Okay. I hope all our listeners hear that. And, you know, this show's going to be up for the rest of our lives, so, you know, people are going to be listening forever.
That's okay. God had me write this book for a purpose. And I'll be honest with you, when I wrote it, I'm going, who would want to read my book? Oh my gosh. I've literally had people in Australia who have ordered my book. So
wow.
There's a reason God put me on this path. And pardon?
People can find your books on Amazon, right?
Yeah, they can just go to Charlotte Canyon on Amazon, and they will see my book. I've got five books out there. I didn't share with you, I also wrote a gardening book, so I have a gardening book as well.
Yeah, so
and I've just written.
During this COVID time.
Yeah,
Yeah, and during COVID, I wrote a children's book, and that'll be out next spring.
Okay.
I always wanted to write a children's book.
Really?
Yeah, and it's called Lovebirds, Charlie's Looking for a Mate, and it's about two cardinals, but actually I watched them all day long out my back door during, you know, out my back window, and I watched their love story just develop.
Oh.
I watched them mating and everything, and so I decided to turn it into a, you know, turn it into a children's book.
That's neat. That's neat. Yeah, because we have birds who, they like to build a nest on our electric box outside of our bedroom window.
Oh, okay.
And one, you know, because in California, most of the time it's nice, we get like two or three birds a year in that nest. They just rebuild it a little bit and sit in it and do the thing.
Yep, that's true. I had cardinals for 3 years build a nest in one hanging basket that I had on my patio until they killed the plant and they couldn't find a nest anymore. But for 3 years in a row, they came back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they love to come back. There's certain birds that are, you know, they feel safe, so they'll come back and back and back.
Very nice. Yeah, that's what like the coins that you give out to people, right? To help make them feel safe and loved.
Yes, many people, I've had nurses literally put them, you know, how your badge has a pocket, they'll put it in, you know, in their badge with their pocket, and some of them will carry it in their purse. And I've even had men that keep them in their coins, you know, their pockets.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that makes me feel like I'm giving back a little bit. But I didn't realize how it would be accepted, but it's been fun. It's just been a blast. As a matter of fact, I've just changed, I had to change it up a little bit because it's been white with, you know, the imprint of the angel and the Psalm 91:11. Well, now he's putting the angel and the Psalms 91:11. I'm having him do me purple ones for ladies and teal ones for guys.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, well, he figured out how to do color, and I said, okay, go ahead and do me purple and teal. You know,
okay.
So, you know, and we'll be doing something else new soon, I'm sure.
That's neat, yeah. Keep changing it up. Keep people interested. Because
yeah.
It can get pretty boring.
Yeah, yeah. And one other thing I've done is my garden book.
Yeah, you're blurry again. You gotta.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Okay. Now you're clear. Yeah.
Okay, my garden book, I literally let one of my granddaughters illustrate it.
Oh! Very nice.
Yeah, she's still in high school, but she draws very well, so I let her do the illustrations.
Uh-huh. Okay, so does your family live out there in Texas with you?
My parents are gone. They've
yeah,
passed.
But your children and grandchildren and...
Oh, just my children. Yes. Well, like I have 5 kids and 20 grandkids, and I have one daughter that lives in Arkansas with 3 of my grandkids and 1 of my great-granddaughters. And then I have a son that lives in south on the coast in Texas, and I have 2 grandkids down there. But the rest of them live within an hour of me. So I
wow.
get to see grandbabies all the time. I've got one that lives 5 minutes from, well, 2 of them that live 5 minutes from me. When I said one and two, one of them is off in college. So when he's home, you know, he's 5 minutes from me, but he's off at college.
Yeah.
you know, he's a little further away. But, oh, yeah. And that just makes life, you know, a blessing.
Very nice. Very nice. So are any of them in the caregiving business?
I actually had one granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, who is 29, by the way. She got her degree in the healthcare industry. She was a human resource, I think that's what you call it. But anyway, she ended up working for 5 years at a facility for helping women who had, a lot of them were battered women.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of took her toll on her for a while.
Yeah.
So she's kind of backed off, and yeah, she's kind of. And do you know that the suicide rate in that field is unbelievable? Because they hear so many bad stories, it starts, yeah, you know, eating on them.
They have to
so she's kind of.
They're not.
Yeah. Yeah, she's kind of backed up on that for a little bit, but no, she did go into the industry, you know, and she was real close to her Nana. That's what my mother's, you know, who my mother was. But she wanted to help, and she did help, I know, many, many people. But, you know, with that being said, I want to say something about those that work in the industry, especially the nurses and the practitioners that or in the senior health industry, they're some of the most compassionate people in the world. And you have to have a certain soul. Now, we as family members, part of it is our duty, but also, you know, you love them.
Yeah.
There are people that work in the industry, and you know, they do it because they're compassionate. They do because they care. And those that have been in it and stay in it, I have the most admiration for them because, you know, day in and day out, they might, you know, they fall in love with it becomes their family, you know, in
yeah.
these facilities. The love that they show these, you know, in fact, this is an interesting, my mother, she had passed away and I was speaking, I guess a year and a half after my mother died. And afterwards, this lady came up to me and she said, I took care of your mom.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh, it touched my heart. Now, she had moved on to, you know, a different job. But she said, I know Lulu. Because when I was speaking, I was talking, my mother's nickname was Lulu.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I took care. She said, let me see your book. She said, that's because I dedicated my book to my mom.
Oh.
And she said, that's my Lulu. She said, I took care of your mom. And I just, and it was before COVID, so I could hug her. And I mean, that just blessed me. I'm going, oh my gosh, thank you, God, for, you know, for bringing this lady back in my past. I didn't remember her, you know,
what?
Being out there. But it was, you know, it was such a blessing. And God does that. If you will open your eyes and like we talked about earlier, smile, I guarantee you God brings people into your lives that will just amaze you. You know, you just have to be open and smile and be ready for that blessing because they're coming. And like you say, the smiles are, they're going to come back and they're going to come back with a vengeance. I've been on a phone call today with getting something repaired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And normally when you call one of those, you know, you push button, then you have to hit 2, and then you have to hit 12. And then, I mean, you go through all of this stuff trying to get to some real person. Just let me talk to a real person. So I finally got a hold of, and he was the nicest gentleman and so helpful. And, you know, I could tell he had a smile on his face, and he wanted truly and honestly to take care of my issue. And nice. I think if, and I'm hoping that COVID has made people a little more aware of their demeanor and their attitudes and, you know, have a job that you enjoy, you know, and do it to the best of your ability, because you're going to be happy and so is everyone else.
That's true. And people can tell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because some people we can just relate to through the masks and through all the rigmarole. Very easily, you just know that there's a connection there.
Well, I feel like when I'm out there, there's at least one person that I'm supposed to meet or they're supposed to meet me. You know, God's got a reason. And I expect a miracle every day. It might be a small miracle. It might be a big miracle, just like my daughter. You know, but I expect that little miracle every day.
Yep, you have to. You have to, because that's, you know, the only way you're going to see them if they come, if you're thinking about them quite often. Because we often get what we ask for, we've moved on to something else and we don't even remember asking for it.
Exactly.
That's a funny thing, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, your wishes can be granted. Just keep that in mind, and they will be.
And what you dwell on, you go toward.
That's sad but true. You know, whenever I'm
thinking
any bad thoughts, I remind myself of that.
Yeah, you have to go read Sparks, because that's a lot of our, you know, that's one of the things I talk about is what you dwell on, you know, you go toward.
Yeah.
And, if you want to be in a, you know, Queen's contest, go buy a tiara and wear it. You know, start being the part, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's a simple thing, but it's true. What, you know, your cup can either be half empty or half full, and I'd rather mine be half full.
Yeah, because you'll enjoy the journey a lot more that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need to enjoy the journey.
And we all have a journey with a lot of forks in the road. And if you go down the wrong one, you can always turn around and come back.
That's the great thing about it. It's like, nothing's permanent. If you do something wrong, just do it again, and maybe you'll do it right this time.
Exactly.
Maybe you won't,
exactly.
But maybe you will, right?
Yeah. Well, and here's the bottom line. Benjamin Franklin invented thousands and thousands of things, but he said he tried to invent, you know, like just, I mean, he said he had 50 failures before he had hit the right thing.
Right.
So you got to just keep on plugging. You got to keep on trying. If it's first sudden it's succeed, try it a little different. You know, if that doesn't work, try it a different way. I guarantee you, that most of the inventors in the world had more failures than they did successes. But they had that one, they kept plugging, they kept going on, and they kept persevering, and they finally, got it right.
Yep, that's very, very true. That's true, because you have to get it right and you have to enjoy the journey. And that's what I like so much about you're talking about the laughter and, doing it so that you'll remember it and enjoy it.
Yeah, And the big thing is, and I think you mentioned this early on, but it was a while ago, but, you know, once the loved ones are gone, all you're going to have left are those memories. So why not create good memories? Why not have those? Because the only person that's going to have them is the one that's living. You know, so, you know, I encourage caregivers and family members and all to create good memories that, you know, that will last you a lifetime, that you can carry with you. I've had people come up to me when I'm speaking. I spoke at a lot of churches, and I have a forgiveness story. And I have people come up to me afterwards, and they go, oh, my gosh, I haven't spoke to my sister in 10 years. And I go, do you remember why you didn't speak to her? And they go, no. And I said, then you need to go home and call her now. Call your sister and say, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry if I did something, and I forgive you if you did. Let's be sisters again. Let's be friends. Because it does no good. Because, you know, forgiveness is freedom. You know, if people carry unforgiveness, they carry an anger with them the rest of their life.
That's right. Yeah. Because we all need that. Because like you said,
oh, yeah.
You know, what you're going toward, you know, what you really think about, go toward, the thing, good things will happen to you, and people need to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basic thing that, yeah, we're all going to screw up, but there's hope for all of us.
Well, you're still alive. As long as you're alive, you still have free will, and you have the right to change your direction.
Yep. So everyone needs to remember that. Okay. So before we go off the air, Charlotte, do you just want to tell us a couple more fun success stories you have?
Goodness gracious! Let's see. What can I share with you? I feel like I've told you just a tip of all the things that I've done. Well, I can share something that's getting ready to come up. And it's really exciting. I've just been asked to be on the radio program, you know, for another year, and I'm actually going down to Galveston in April to do a book festival, and I'm going to be the radio host down there. But I've also been asked to be in the Mrs. Senior Texas Beauty Pageant.
Oh!
And when I mentioned earlier about getting a tiara and wearing your tiara, I went and bought myself a tiara. So here I am in my pajamas wearing my tiara, but I'm dwelling on it.
Don't have to be a kid to do that.
Nope, you don't have to be a kid to get your tiara. But no, I'm really excited about it. I've never done anything like this, but it's exciting to think that, you know, I'm going to get to share some of my stories and share some of my... I'm actually doing a comedy skit, and I'm also a singer, so I'm going to sing a little bit. But, you've probably heard of Sweet Adeline's out there in San Francisco, because they're international. But I used to be the lead in a quartet.
Very nice.
Yeah, they call me an indigo child. And an indigo child likes to conquer a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
So, I try all kinds of things. And that was just one. I've you know, when I turned 50, I took piano lessons.
Yep, that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, and that's really good for you. That's very, very good. Yeah. Can I share something with your people? I guess it's been a little over a year ago I went to a brain seminar. I love to learn new things. I love to read everyone's books. I love interviewing authors on the radio program. But one of the things that I love to do is go to seminars and learn things that really are kind of a little bit out of my realm. And, you know, you know about brain injury and all. Well, one of the clubs I belong to had a speaker, and I think he was from California. I don't know exactly where. But he shared something with us about how the brain works. And I'm going to simplify it. You're a doctor. You know much more than I do. But this is a simplified way to think about the brain. When we exercise, and we all should exercise, you know, at least for 30 minutes a day just for our body, but your brain also is a muscle. And if you're listening to music, you're cooking dinner, your daughter comes in and starts talking to you, someone else is yelling outside, you're listening to four or five different things, your brain is. You may not consciously know it, but your brain's doing jumping jacks. and if it's doing it all day long, they're discovering that those are the people that go into dementia and Alzheimer's at an early age, because
really?
They've allowed their brain to do jumping jacks all day long. So I'm going to give a simple exercise that I wish everyone would try. And I call it the 555. I can't remember his legal term of it, but it's breathing correctly is what it is, but it's where you breathe in through your nose with your mouth closed to the count of five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You hold your breath to the count of five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you blow all your breath out through your mouth to the count of five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you do that at least five times in a row, and do it at least 3 to 5 times a day. And what I can promise you, because I have been doing it for the last year and a half, your stress level will go down and your heart rate will drop up to 20 points.
Wow. Not bad.
You know, turn off the radios. I don't even have my radio on in the car anymore. Because I'm busy thinking about driving. There might be someone beside me who's got their radio loud enough I can hear it anyway. But I'm, and this is an old, old term, but I'm defragging my brain. If you think about it, I'm defragging it. I'm trying to simplify it. I'm getting it down to where I don't have those outside, you know, distractions. I don't have my TV on just in my house just for the noise. And I promise you, I can see my cognizance and my awareness. I've become sharper.
Wow. Okay. That's a pretty good testimony here. I mean, yes, that's something we should do. I mean, it's so easy to think, oh, yeah, my brain can process. I can do 100 things at once. But your brain cannot process it. Brains are built to process one thing at a time and one thing only.
Yep.
And people need to realize that.
You know, our kids, you know, I mean, I don't know how old you are, Doran, but you know I'm a great grandma, so I'm a senior citizen. But our kids were grown up in a society where they had headsets on from the, you know, you see babies around with headsets on. So they've been in the computer industry and had all of this thrown at them. And at an alarming rate, just like my daughter at 44, at an alarming rate, 40 and 50-year-old, I'm going to call them young adults because they're not my age, but they're coming down with Alzheimer's and dementia at an early age. There is a huge, huge mass of people that are coming down with dementia and Alzheimer's, and they don't know why. Well, they're proving that it's because they've had so much thrown at their brains.
Yep. Yep. But people say, oh, but I'm okay. That's not for me. It's for everybody else, but not for me.
Well, it's for those few people that are listening that will take it to heart and go, okay, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to declutter.
Exactly.
And we don't expect to touch everyone. We just know that there's those few that are out there listening that will take, if they take one or two things of what we said tonight, you know, that's good.
Yep. It's important to realize that. Yep, taking one or two things from it is the best you can expect, but, you know, let's expect the best.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I think you gave us a pretty good advice, things to think about tonight, and definitely got me thinking. And whether people listen to it tonight or some other time, I hope they get as much out of it as you got living through it or I got just hearing it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
You too. Okay, everybody. That was pleasant. So I will just play a little bit of music and shut the show off. So if anyone would like to contact Charlotte, she's told people how to get in touch with her. Just emailing will work. She likes emails and she will respond to you. So just remember that, and I'll just play Ripples by Kevin MacLeod. good night, everybody.